comfort and forgiveness this morning is from Joel chapter 2, verses 18 to 32. Joel 2, 18 to 32. Then the Lord will be jealous for His land and take pity on His people. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land, with its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea, and its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely He has done great things. Be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts, and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You'll have plenty to eat until you are full, and you'll praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel. I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Brothers and sisters, arise, hear the good news. Having been made perfect, Jesus Christ became the source of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. As the saved in Christ, we seek to inherit our salvation by keeping covenant with God, by obeying our Lord and His commandments. God's will for life this morning is taken from James 3, verses 1 through 18. James 3, 1 through 18, these are the words of God. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to Him now, asking for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of His word. Will you pray with me? O Lord and Father in heaven, to whom all glory and honor are due, make thy marvelous works known throughout the whole earth, so that the force of thy power may bring down thy enemies and ours. Further grant to us that we may be so settled by the afflictions which thou sendest unto us, that we never cease to praise thy mercy and goodness, which is abundantly shown forth to us in thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Speak to us now, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, whom you sent on Pentecost, on your early church. Give us ears to hear your word. Give us minds to understand your truth. Give us hearts to love you and your revelation to us. And move us, Lord, by your Spirit to be zealous, to be joyful, to be obedient in going forth from this house, keeping covenant with you and proclaiming your glorious work to the ends of the earth. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our kinsman redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47. Acts 2, 1 through 47, brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing, hear it with faith, and do not harden your hearts. When the day of Pentecost came, they, that is the apostles, were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord had added to their number daily those who were being saved. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, today is Pentecost. We commemorate the Lord on this day, giving his Holy Spirit to his new covenant church. And this was in keeping with his covenant promises of Christ's ascension. It was better for us, for Jesus to depart, for he ascended into heaven so the Spirit would descend to be with us. Now, 10 days ago, we celebrated the ascension of the Son of God to the right hand of the Father. In Christ's ascension, the Father gave the Son dominion, glory, and a kingdom that would never end. Jesus is seated on his heavenly throne with all authority in heaven and on earth. It is because Jesus sits on his throne at the right hand of the Father that we, the church, minister the gospel to the world. Jesus gave himself up unto death, even a death on the cross. Because of this, the Father has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, the Father has promised to give him his inheritance. And what is his inheritance? That he is to rule over the nations with a rod of iron. So the Son has done all the work. He's won the victory. All he has to do is ask, and the Father will give him the spoils of his victory. The spoils are the nations. The spoils are the whole earth, which he has purchased with his precious blood. So, brothers and sisters, I ask you first off, if the Father has promised the Son all the nations, the whole earth, and he has suffered faithfully, and he has endured faithfully, do you think that Jesus wouldn't ask for what's properly his? The Father says, ask, and I will give you your nations. I would suggest to you, yes. Now, if the nations are his, and Jesus rules over all of them, then all the nations are to be evangelized. All the nations are to receive the gospel, to hear it proclaimed. All the nations are to be converted. All the nations are to be discipled for Jesus' sake. In the Great Commission, Jesus exhorted his disciples to go and disciple the nations. But that was not all of his message. It wasn't just go. Church of Christ, it's not just go. He said, therefore, go. You've heard the old line, whenever there's a therefore, you ask what that therefore is. Therefore? What's that therefore, therefore? He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. So what does this have to do with Pentecost? We heard from God's word of the authority that Christ has given us, his church, because of his ascension. He says, I have all authority in heaven and earth, therefore go. Go in the name of Jesus. You have the authority. Go disciple the nations. That's the ascension. We have the authority to minister to the world. We have the authority to set foot on every square inch of this creation and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. No matter what mankind says, we have that authority to proclaim Jesus is King. Every square inch, every institution that tries to block out Jesus Christ and say, Jesus is not, he does not belong in these walls. This is a neutral place. Every institution that tries to suggest that is lying. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. He has authority over all, despite what mankind says. So we have the authority to go, therefore go, and proclaim Christ crucified. Everything belongs to Jesus, and all the blessings of Christ are ours. He gives them to us. That's the authority. With Pentecost comes the power. The power by which to do it. We can go and proclaim Jesus Christ. We can go and evangelize the nations, to convert them with the gospel, to disciple them for the kingdom. The Holy Spirit gives us that power. The other side of the coin is, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we couldn't do it. Can flesh and blood change your heart? Can manly wisdom convince you of the gospel? No, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our ministry is ineffective without the Holy Spirit. Because of the weakness of our flesh, and the fact that apart from Christ we are dead in our trespasses, our ministry is ineffective in and of ourselves. We can come up with all sorts of fun ministry approaches, innovative ideas by which to preach or disciple, to have fellowship. We can come up with all sorts of fun things. Without the blessing of the Holy Spirit, it matters not. You can preach the gospel to a brick wall. Without the Spirit, it's not going to move. We have the authority to go. It is better that Jesus ascended. And we go with power because the Spirit descended. What we do here, brothers and sisters, what we do as the redeemed in Jesus Christ, the new humanity of God, is we minister the gospel here at Hamline Reformed Church in the discipling of the nations in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the name of Jesus, authority. We have the Spirit, who is power. This power kicked off at Pentecost with the New Covenant Church. Before Jesus ascended, he told his disciples, stay. Stay here in Jerusalem. Power would come from you on high. And then you go forth from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the four corners of the earth. And the church announces the enthronement of the Son of God over the nations, the establishment of his kingdom. And it's in celebration this Lord's Day that we, the saints of Hamline and visitors, we celebrate the glorious truth and the reality of our situation. We minister and worship in Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. Let's have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Can I see your eyes on me, please? Can I see your eyes? Can I see your eyes? Can you see it right there? Hey, how are you doing? I give you a bigger hug, but I'm fighting off a little bit of a cold. Good morning, the Lord be with you. I heard it over here. Okay, let's try it again. When I say the Lord be with you, you say and also with you. Okay? The Lord be with you. Good job. Sounds like you have a cold, too. Did you share some of that with me? All right, raise your hand if you like superheroes. Raise your hand if you like superheroes. Okay? Hands down. Raise your hand if you like princesses that can shoot ice power. I thought the girls wouldn't go for the superheroes, so yeah. Who is that princess?
Elsa.
Elsa, very good. Okay, hands down. Okay. Who can raise your hand and tell me a couple superheroes? Micah, can you name one superhero? Do you know who's that big guy, big green, strong guy? You know what that guy's name is? No? How about you know someone who flies through the sky? Aubrey? Spider-Man's a superhero.
Captain America?
Batman? Raise your hand if you ever heard of Popeye. A couple of you have? Oh, okay, a lot of hands go up in the back. I was going to tell you about Popeye, but I don't know. I didn't know if you guys would all know. Let's use, you guys know about Superman? Have you heard of Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So Superman is a superhero. No, I take that back. Let's do Batman. He's better. Okay? No, for this example, he's better. He's not better than Superman. Okay. So Batman has these powerful gadgets, right? He has that utility belt, and he has all these cool weapons and toys. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you haven't seen Batman. This example's falling apart on me. All right, hands down. Without his weapons, Batman is like you and me. He's just a man. He's just a human being. But with his weapons, he's more powerful. He's stronger. He can do more things through his weapons. Okay? Captain America, he can do cool things, right? He's made stronger, but before he was made stronger, he was just a person. Elsa, she has those fiery, or the icy powers where she can make ice and freeze things, right? But her sister Anna, she's just a normal person, right?
We're not going to argue about Elsa, are we? We have an Elsa debate? Superheroes are like people, but they're super powerful. But without their powers, they're just normal, right? Okay? Now, we are human beings made in the image of God. We're like every person in this world. Who can raise their hand and tell us, where do we get our power? From God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power. We can do things that normal human beings can't do. Okay? We can lift up God. Can you believe that? How do we lift up God? We did it already this morning, Caleb. Singing. Our singing lifts up God. We can change hearts. Somebody can have a hard heart. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. And we can say, hey, God loves you. Jesus died for your sins. And their heart will change. We can take down the devil and demons and evil authorities by God's word. And by... what am I doing right now? Holding my hands and praying. We have superpowers. You have superpowers. Raise your hand if you're scared of the devil. You don't have to be. Okay? You don't have to be. Jesus set you free. The Holy Spirit says the devil can't even touch you. Can you give in to temptation to sin? Yes. But apart from in Christ, we can fight the devil. We don't have to worry about him. We have to be afraid of him. We can say, be gone, Satan. Resist him and he'll flee from us. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That the devil will flee from us. It's a good thing. So, are you normal people? Or are you super powerful people? You are Christian superheroes. You have the Holy Spirit to strengthen you so you can do great things. Okay? But if you disobey the Spirit, you lose your powers. So don't do that. Okay? So let's obey God and serve Him by His Spirit. Will you pray with me? Let's use some of those superpowers right now. Repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us and saving us in your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to obey you, to serve you with the superpower of the Holy Spirit whom you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you're going to back to your seats. So for the adults, the illustration is Popeye is just a normal guy, and he gets beat up, and then he gets the Holy Spirit with the spinach, and then he's super powerful. So that was the application for you guys, okay? So. It'd be great for the kids if they knew who Popeye was. All right, so the Holy Spirit came in power at Pentecost in Jerusalem that day about 2,000 years ago. But the Holy Spirit's always been active since the beginning. He was hovering over creation in the beginning, driving away the darkness and providing order in those first 6 days. The Spirit led Israel as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He came upon Saul and Samson to perform wondrous acts of power. Even the Israelites as a nation, they echoed the words of King David in Psalm 51, where they prayed in contrition, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And on the day of Christ's resurrection, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples. So what was so special about Pentecost? Why this miraculous event? The Holy Spirit gives us much here in Acts 2 on the significance of Pentecost. So I just want to highlight 5 quickly. Okay. So verses 12 and 13, the people responded and they said, what's going on with these guys? And they said, they Your text in the NIV says they've had too much wine. It literally says they have had new wine. The apostles are filled with new wine. Were they filled with new wine? The apostles? Yes, they are the new wineskins of the new covenant, so they were filled with new wine. Verses 16 to 21, Peter quotes Joel 2, which you've already heard this morning. And the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in the coming of the Holy Spirit, Peter says, was happening then. Verse 16, no, Peter said, this, what's happening before you, was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Okay, so that started at Pentecost, the last days of the Old Covenant. The Spirit comes and it would go forth to the whole world. But it had to start at Pentecost. Verses 25 to 28, Peter quotes Psalm 16 about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You did not abandon my soul to Sheol. You did not let your Holy One see decay. The rebirth of the new humanity, of which we are a part, began in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't stay dead in the ground. He was born again. Jesus was the first born again. And the Spirit would come to all those born again in Christ, united to Him by baptism. Verses 34, 35, from Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Jesus Christ did ascend, did he not? He ascended, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father, and the Father says to Jesus, sit here at my right hand, and there's a key word here, until. So is he going to come back before his enemies are under his feet? No. So if you're waiting for the imminent return of Jesus Christ, look around you. Are the enemies under his feet? No. So he will reign until his enemies are put under his feet. Lastly, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Lost there is they earnestly devoted themselves. Not sure why that word did get included. They earnestly devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So in Acts 2, God reveals the effects of the coming of the Holy Spirit. We can see the power by which He comes. We can see His effectiveness. We can see that the Spirit accomplishes much in a short period of time. So because of this, as mentioned, the church can go and preach the gospel. The church can disciple her members. We can devote ourselves earnestly to the ministry of teaching, fellowship, the sacraments, and prayer. So anything we do, if the Spirit is not behind it, if the Spirit is not blessing it, we accomplish nothing. Only the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Spirit, can save anyone. So last Lord's Day, we celebrated our God-given authority. It's like we have a clearance pass now. We have a badge that gets us into places where we couldn't go before. We have a name badge that says Jesus on it. We come in the name of Jesus. We can disciple the nations, and no one can say no to us. Our boss reigns over creation on His heavenly throne. So go forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Go forth to bring the gospel to those around you. Minister to those in your families, in your communities. You have Jesus written across your forehead. That's the authority. And He has not left us weaponless in our service. You don't go out with an empty gun. He hasn't given you a car and not put gas in it. He's given you power. Dads, moms, grandparents, you can teach your children God's Word, and you can be effective in it because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can reprove each other within the Church of Christ because we have the Spirit with us. We can pray for our enemies, that God will convert them.
or he'll put them under his feet. And we can worship here on the Lord's Day for the changing of the world for his glory because of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray.